Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 584.
Today we continue with the questions from Jason, who is writing a novella for a high school project. Today, Jason asks,
if I were to create a sort of antagonist, how exactly should I connect them to the main characters?
Well, you got a few options, but they all fall under the basic rule that, by definition, the antagonist is connected to the protagonist through an opposing objective. I.e., the protagonist must want something that the antagonist cannot allow, because the antagonist, in order to achieve their objective, must, by definition, frustrate the protagonist. So they can be directly opposed. For example, they can both be trying to obtain the same treasure, like in The Maltese Falcon, or be on opposite sides of a war, like in Ken Follett's Fall of Giants. Or they can be fighting one another in a court battle, like in every Perry Mason story ever. Bad guy and the antagonist are never the same person. The villain is the guy who committed the murder. The antagonist is the prosecutor. The second way is they can be indirectly opposed. The antagonist might want something that has nothing whatsoever to do with the protagonist, but the antagonist getting what he wants will, as a side effect, make the protagonist's goal impossible. For example, a school principal might quite like a student, but still be standing in the way of that student's desire to do parkour across the school's roof. Though the school principal quite likes the student, he likes having his job more, and if he were to let the student do parkour on the roof and the student got injured, the insurance company would insist he be fired. Or the student's parents might sue him. So in order to maintain his primary objective of staying employed, he has to stand in the way of the student, even though he quite likes the student and, in the best of all possible worlds, would probably love to see the student do parkour. Another way is that they might be personally opposed to each other, your protagonist and your antagonist. One might have a personal grudge against the other one, or be seeking revenge against the other one, anything like that. Another way is they could be ambiguously opposed, the objectives of the protagonist and the antagonist. For example, say a father is preventing the protagonist and his girlfriend from dating because the father had an affair with the girlfriend's mother and knows that the girlfriend might be his son's sister. The antagonist has more information than the protagonist and thus opposes the protagonist's goals while supporting the protagonist's welfare. This can be a really powerful way to characterize. It can be a little difficult because you've got multiple layers going on. But having that sort of mixed bag of motivations on the part of the antagonist can make them really, really interesting. Beyond the connection of the protagonist and the antagonist, beyond their mutually exclusive objectives, you can have other connections that really enhance the story, but they are strictly optional. It's tempting to make everything personal, and to make everyone a secret family member, like in Star Wars where everyone's suddenly a secret Skywalker for some reason. It's tempting to make everybody a secret family member or old friends, because when it's done really, really well, that is really satisfying. The problem is there's a category of things you can do in a story, in all aspects of story, that are really easy to do and really hard to do well. And they're really easy to do because it's obvious that if it was done well, it would be amazing, and so you're just attracted to that. It's the obvious thing to do. But because it's the obvious thing to do, everybody does it, so in order to make it special, you have to do it really, really well. And so there's this middle ground where beginning writers try it all the time and almost never do it right, and experienced writers may do it all the time and make it amazing, but in that middle phase that we all have to go through, it's really hard. You can tank a decent book by doing these things in a mediocre way. Family connections, secret babies, secret sisters, that sort of thing. Those are the sorts of things that are really easy to do and really hard to do well. They're not the only things. There's a lot of other things, but those are some of the things that are related to this question. Some other ways that your protagonist and antagonist can be connected. They have a past relationship of some sort. They have a secret relationship of some sort. Either, you know, secret shared paternity that they don't know about, or maybe they've got an affair going on that's secret from everybody else around them. Something like that. They may have a shared relationship to a third party. They could both be former soldiers who served in the same war but didn't ever know each other, and they had different ideas about the importance of that experience. They could both be members of the same sort of church, but not members of the same church. Or they could have a mutual friend. Another kind, they could have a nostalgic relationship, meaning they could remind one another of a parent or of a lost friend, and such feelings could go in both directions, which could add a lot of complexity to their interactions. They could have a symbolic relationship, meaning they could be very similar people who have chosen different paths. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, this sort of relationship is set up between Belloc and Indiana Jones. Belloc says to Indiana Jones, straight to his face, "I am a shadowy reflection of you. It would take only the slightest nudge to make you like me, to push you out of the light. We both want the same things. We both will do the same things to get what we want. The difference between us is very, very small." That's the dark mirror sort of symbolic relationship is a very effective one. Alternately, either your protagonist or your antagonist could see the other party as another version of his past or future self that he wants to save or become or avoid becoming or destroy. The Robert Heinlein story By His Bootstraps plays with this wonderfully, in a very literal sense. If you want to see this kind of symbolic relationship stripped down to its guts and laid bare, read By His Bootstraps by Robert Heinlein. It's in the collection The Menace from Earth. It's about 7,000 words. It's a really fast read. It's really, really well done, and the protagonist and the antagonist definitely have a relationship where they see each other as different versions of themselves that they want to become or avoid or destroy. And finally, your protagonist and your antagonist may have no relationship at all. They may never meet. They may only interact with each other indirectly as a result of pursuing their mutually exclusive objectives. It's quite possible. And there's a number of books and films that have done this, all of which are escaping me at the moment. Can't think of one. I actually wrote one where the protagonist and the antagonist never meet, but I never published that one because it was really, really early and it wasn't very good. But it is possible that your protagonist and your... Oh, hi, I got one for you. Star Wars, the first Star Wars film, Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader never meet. At the very end, they have a dogfight, but they never communicate directly with each other. Darth Vader never actually sees Luke Skywalker, and Luke Skywalker only sees Darth Vader once across the docking bay. They never meet, and yet Luke is the hero and Vader's the villain. But they never meet. And doing things that way can be really, really interesting, especially if the protagonist or the antagonist is controlling a machine, and by machine I don't mean a literal mechanism, but a mechanical or a social or a political complex that is standing in the way of the antagonist or vice versa. I can't remember how I started setting that one up, but you get the idea. It's quite possible to have your protagonist, your antagonist, have no relationship whatsoever and still have it be a very satisfying story. It's just that at that point, the personal stakes for your protagonist need to run somewhere other than directly through the antagonist, even though the strategic stakes for your protagonist do need to butt straight up against the antagonist. Anyway, there you go. I'll be back with more for you tomorrow, Jason. Thank you very much for including me in this project. This is a lot of fun.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.